if you did not receive a blessing today, come see me, because I felt our church worship together. I felt our church, the Holy Spirit, God, was just all in this, and it was amazing to be a part of it. And I'm asking them for the same thing, guys. I was a little struggling with it at first, because I knew what he was going to preach on, and I knew where I wanted to go. And we had this back and forth where he was telling me his verses, and I was like, oh, man, that's what I'm doing. Oh, and then, of course, what he did and what I can do is just a totally different world. But I got to thinking about it, and I was like, no, God's going to let me do it my way. So you'll hear some same things. But I just pray through the way I present things that will be new and relevant to you. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to try and take what this summer has been about, like he says, and I wanted to try and bring it down into one spot. I mean, I don't know if you guys can remember, but way back on June 3rd, we started this series. Brother Joe Wright came and he preached about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The next week we got to hear Steve Rogers preach about, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. And for those that know my story and know my testimony, I love that verse right there, Luke 23:43. Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Because I'm going to reach back into a moment of my own life. You know, I make things very personal. But I remember with my grandmother and sitting in the hospital room as she was dying. And we was talking about salvation. And I took her to that verse right there, and I was talking about the thieves on the cross, and she thought she had to do this, and she had to do that, and I was just like, Grams, you just confess him as Lord. You acknowledge him before anyone, you know, before everybody, and you and I are going to dance in heaven. And I remember sitting in that room as my grandmother yelled out with every bit of energy she had in her soul to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And I remember, you know, I'm sitting there with a smile on my face while everybody was weeping. And I was like, me and Grams are going to be dancing forever. So I love that verse. And then the next week, Brother Kavnis came and he preached about, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. And then our own Doug Weed preached, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eddie Wilbanks came and admitted that he made a bad call at a softball game. And then he preached on forgiveness. I'm kidding. He preached on I thirst. Mike Baker came and preached, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And of course, this morning, Brother Don preached, it is finished. And man, did he preach that. It was great. So where do I go from here? I was in a moment trying to figure out how to do this. What could I possibly add to what the men that have stood on this behind this podium have got to say already? And I prayed about it, and I said, God, just show me something. Open something up to me. And you know what he told me? He said, read the book. Amen. After it is finished. And that's what I want to do today. I want us to look at after the cross, but before ascension. So I'm going to try and squeeze 40 days into, how long do I get? But I want to try and squeeze this in here, and I want us to talk about that, and I want us to look at that, because I really wish I would have got with Mr. Peter before he got up here and saying, we believe, because I believe that should be the invitation, because that is what I'm really preaching on. Removing fear and removing doubt and seeing Jesus Christ as who he is. But it's what I wanted to talk about. It's where I wanted to look at. And I want us to walk us through what happened after that cross. And I want us to see that and remind us, that's the key, that Jesus conquered the grave. And you say, we know that, Mike. But I got to ask you, do you really? Do you really know, do you remember that he conquered the grave? Because I don't believe Brother Don would have come in here and had to preach a revival like that if the church actually believed that Jesus Christ conquered the grave. Because that is an amazing moment in history, and I love that I said it, history, because we want to put that into a realm of, oh, that's just in the Bible, but that was a historical moment in history. That moment right there changed so many dynamics and so many people's ways they was moving. But Jesus had to spend 40 days reminding them that he was alive. But some of the guys still doubted, and that's what we're going to kind of look at. Now, I want to put a little warning out there. I do have a lot of scripture tonight. This sermon is unique to me. Normally, I'll get a verse, and I'll take that one verse, and I'll pull every bit of information I can pull out of that my mind will allow me to do. But God is leading me to do a little bit something different tonight. And so I wanted us to look at it, and I want it not to be my words, but I want it to be scripture telling us what was going to happen in those 40 days. Because I wanted to show their doubts. I wanted it to show their fear. But then I also want to show what happens when Jesus removes the fear. When Jesus Christ removes the doubt from our lives. So, and the only way I can do that is through the Word of the God. So, really cool thing today. I don't know if y'all noticed this, but Don was saying, turn to Mark chapter 6. And I mean, it was just like, I mean, you could just hear pages all throughout this assembly just turning to that. And he would say, go over here to John. And it was just crazy. It was going back and forth. And I looked over at Darren, and I said, that is the most beautiful sound I've ever heard, is pages of the Bible, the Word of God being opened up and just being thumbed through over and over and over. And you guys were doing a really good job of keeping up with him. So I was kind of like, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, well, they're actually following him around, and he's reading and stopping, and then they're filling in the blanks. I was like, maybe I should do that. And then I remembered how much scripture I had, and I said, now they'll kick me out and never let me come back. So I'm not going to do that. But here we go. Let's get started. Let us pray. Let me pray real quick, and we'll get going. Father God, I just come to you, God. I just thank you for this day, God. Father, I pray that everybody listened, God. I pray their eyes were open, their hearts were open, God. Father, I pray that they felt the Spirit of God move in their lives. God, but the day's not over, Father. So I just pray right now, God, that I decrease, that, Father, you increase, God, that your word is presented on high, Father, that it sinks right past whatever's holding them back, whatever fear, whatever doubt is in their heart, God. I pray that we can remove that. Father, that you will remove that, God, and that they'll remember, God, that you conquered the grave. Father, that you said it is finished, and you meant it is finished. Father, I just lift up this word. I just lift up this church. Father, I just lift up every heart and every soul, God. And I ask that you just tear down walls where they can hear your word like never before. I ask all this in the precious name of Jesus, and amen. So the first place I want to start is in the book of Matthew. And I'm going to put some scripture up on the screen so you don't have to turn a lot. But I wanted to do that. Matthew 28:9. I love this because this is the very first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And I love what it says. And it's kind of, I'll get to that in a minute. But it says, Matthew 28:9. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. See, I'm simple. I thought that was really cool because he didn't come back from the cross, right, and come out with this amazing, mind-blowing theological statement that just made you go, what? What? No parable? What? I mean, what is this? He just comes up and he says, greetings. Like, hey, I'm here. I'm not going to run around and holler either, by the way. But, I mean, I can't, greetings, you know? Wait, Randy. But, so you asked me, though, why even start there? Because you was talking about fear and you was talking about doubt. And so why even start there? What's really cool is what happens next. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. See, it says they fell to the ground when Jesus reappeared. They came back and they finally saw him. It says when they finally saw him, they look and they took hold of his feet. But that says to me that they saw him, they ran to him, they fell to his feet and started to worship him. You know, we've all seen these military pictures or these videos where the mom and dad comes back from Iraq or from tour duty, and they put on these silly little costumes, I guess you could say, and they have this surprise moment with their daughters or their kids, their sons, and they take off the mask, and then all of a sudden you just see this amazing moment where they just run and they just embrace and they just hold tight, so tight. And that creates a really amazing picture, but I believe that picture right there, that could change your life if you knew the Jesus that they saw. Because it says that he come and said greetings, and it says they just dropped, just like that kid in that video, they just dropped everything, and they ran and embraced their mom and dad. Well, this picture paints that they just dropped everything and they ran and fell to his feet. What an awesome God they serve. That's how close they were. That's how much they loved him. That's how much they desired for him to be in their life. And I think that is just a great way to send the rest of this message off, because I believe as we as a church, if Jesus Christ come through those doors right there, if we would just stop everything we're doing and just run and fall to his feet and worship him the way he deserves to be worshiped, my goodness, my God, would that be amazing. And I have to ask the church tonight, are we there? Are we at a point of our relationship with Christ that when we see him, we run and fall to his feet? Some of us, yes. And I said this earlier, Nath, but sadly, some of us are not. Because some of us still have doubt inside of our hearts. Some of us still have fear inside of us that we can't get past something in our life, that we can't go and do what that scripture right there says they did. And I don't do that to beat you down. Here's what I want to do tonight. I want to take that and say, hey, brothers and sisters, I'll say it, ready? We are not alone. Because scripture is going to show us over and over where they had struggles and they had doubt and fear. But my goodness, when God finally just has enough of it and he just comes up and just removes all of it, watch what happens. And so the first place I want to look at tonight is the followers of Jesus Christ. And here's where, if you have your Bibles, please be turning with me to Luke 24. And I'm going to read 13 down to 27. And this is the followers. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and they were discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Verse 18, then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" Give me your eyes. His followers knew that the Romans had put him to death. They had seen him on the cross. They had seen Joseph take him down for the cross and put the shrouds on him. They had seen him put into a grave. They had seen this tomb sealed. They had seen this with their own eyes. And this was not just a small moment in time that was affecting just this little area, right? The whole nation. This was during Passover. The whole nation was interested in that right there. Picking back up in 19, and he said to them, you know, just to see if they know anything, he says, "What things?" And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, in word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. Verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Once again, this broke them. You know, he was talking about fear and doubt and being broken, because the followers of Christ had believed that Jesus Christ was the coming Messiah. And now all of a sudden, despair and faith and doubt, it had all moved into them and consumed their lives. Because most of these followers, most of these people, they knew the Old Testament and they knew of the coming Messiah. But for some reason, they forgot a lot of things, that Jesus was going to come back from the grave. And when he died, they completely lost all hope. Verse 22, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, ready. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that even they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And then Jesus says to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" See, they had forgotten Isaiah 53 and Psalm 16:10, because Isaiah 53 says, His followers forgot that the suffering servant of God would suffer for the sins of his people. The prophet says he would then be cut off on the land of the living. But Isaiah then states that he, the Messiah, will see his offspring and that God the Father will prolong his days. Isaiah proceeds to affirm that the promise of the resurrection in different words. It says in Isaiah 53:11, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see light and he will be satisfied. They had forgot Psalm 16:10 that says, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. The followers of Christ had seen some amazing moments in his life, but for some reason, and we'll talk about that in a minute, they had forgotten the Old Testament prophecies. I believe that's where the church is. We have forgotten some of the Old Testament prophecies. And what's sad is we have the New Testament apostles to back it up even more. But yet some of us still live our life with doubt and with fear. Some of us continually, foolishly just we ignore that Jesus Christ overcomes the grave. One more verse I want us to look at in the scripture, and it kind of takes away from this a little bit, but I felt a huge conviction when I read it, and I did not want to move over it. But it says in verse 32, Luke 24:32, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? While he opened to us the scriptures. You know, Jesus Christ conquered the grave, but has we forgotten that scripture is alive as well? Because these men, these followers, they had lost their desire, they had lost their heart had become cold and numb. And I ask you, church, are we the same way? Do we just open up the book of the Bible, right? I mean, I don't know what yours looks like, but I know mine's alive, and I really go to work in mine. But every time we open this Bible, do we see something different? Does something stand out inside of it? Does something burn within us when God opens Scripture up to us? And if you're here in church today and if Scripture isn't burning something inside your soul, maybe you need to start to walk on your road to Emmaus. And maybe you need to ask Jesus to come in and come up beside you and show you Scripture like never before. Because the Bible is alive as well, friends. Do not read this Bible for information, but read this Bible for transformation. Because I know it's changed my life, and it's continually changing my life. It's just amazing. All right, so the next thing I want us to look at is I want us to look at the disciples. In Mark 16:11-14 is where we're going to go. And I want to show how they handled the days after the cross. Verse 16:11, here we go. But when they heard that he was alive and been seen by her, they would not believe it. Look on down, Mark 16:12-13. Cleopas and his friend even tried to tell them, after these things, he appeared in another form to the two of them as they were walking into the country. Verse 13, and they went back and they told the rest, but they did not believe them either. See, both times Scripture ends, I love that, mine breaks it up right there, but both times it tells this amazing story how somebody has seen the risen Lord, the risen Christ, and they come to this point where they're about to we're about to just explode, and it says they would not believe it. They did not believe them. And so finally in 14, Mark 16, 14, Mark finally says Jesus has to tell them and show them in his life. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 disciples, themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And sadly, that's twice I get to say this, but sadly it didn't stop right there. Matthew 28:16 says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Luke 24:40 says, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands. He showed them his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? Saying, I'm not a ghost. I'm hungry. Here I am. They still didn't get it. And of course, John 20:24, everybody knows anything about Scripture, knows Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. The disciples, some doubted, some disbelieved, and some said, I will never believe. Wow. This is the disciples, and I say wow because these are men that walked with Jesus Christ, right? And they saw some amazing things. They saw him turn water into wine. They saw him heal the possessed. They saw him, the healing of the sick. Barry, Harold, and Bart, you have nothing on Jesus Christ when it comes to catching fish. They saw some amazing things, right? He healed a leopard. He healed a paralytic. He fed 5,000, then turned around and fed 4,000 more. He calmed the sea and he walked on water. He cursed a fig tree because it didn't produce fruit, and it withered up and died. The disciples saw Jesus Christ raise the dead. He raised a widow's son in Luke 7. He raised Jairus' daughter in Matthew 9. And of course, he raised Lazarus in John 11. And I read all that, and I was studying for that, and I was preparing for that, and I was like, man, you know what I'm saying? If my God, my Christ that I was studying and I was walking around with and watched all these amazing things, I have to ask what happened, because in John 2:1-11, where it talked about the water into the wine, it says this was the first of his signs that Jesus did in Cana in Galilee, and it revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And I just wanted to know what happened, because they've seen all this amazing stuff, and I know for myself that after reading Scripture, and if I'd seen all this, you know, I would have pulled up a chair, right, at the tomb. I hope this don't break. And I would have pulled up a chair, right, and I would have been sitting there, you know, on the third day when I know the tomb's about to roll back. If I would have saw everything that Jesus Christ done, and I would have been a part of that and just felt his presence, kind of like I felt this morning, I would have pulled up a chair, you know, I'd got me some popcorn, and I'd been sitting there, and I'd been waiting for that tomb. I'd been waiting for that stone to just roll away, and I'd be like, here he comes. My Lord and my God is about to come through that door. But it says over and over in Scripture, you know, they were just like, at one moment they were believing in him and watching all these amazing signs, but then something happened, and it took them to a point where they said, I will never believe. I do not believe, and I will doubt. And I just can't help but to understand that, because I studied on it and I struggled on it and I finally found out the answer. Death. Sure, Jesus Christ can bring people back from the death, but I got God laid this on my heart. He said, who's going to bring Jesus back? Because see, they had forgotten the Scripture that he was the Messiah, that he was Christ the King. And they had been told three times. They had forgotten Matthew 16:21. It says, from the time that Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And it's like they just stopped listening for a second. Because if they would have heard a little bit more, it would have said, and on the third day, he will be raised. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, that'd be enough for me. But it didn't stop there. They went on into Matthew 17:22 a second time. After they had gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told him, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of the enemies. He will be killed. Here's the but, Nathan. but on the third day he will be raised from the dead. And the disciples were filled with grief. He didn't stop. He told them a third time. Matthew 20:19, then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. He told them over and over and over that this is to take place. This is to, we had a brother, what's his name? He talked about the prophecies being fulfilled, Brother Eddie Wilbanks. And he said that Jesus Christ fulfilled over 300 prophecies when he was nailed to that cross. And then he did this amazing little number for you, about half dollars. You guys remember this? And he said for one man to fulfill 8 of those prophecies, it's like taking a half dollar and placing it on the entire state of Texas and placing those half dollars 2 feet deep. And then, there's 2 feet. And then taking that half dollar and writing Jesus is risen and putting it on there and then asking somebody to go find it. I don't know if he told us, but that was only for 8 prophecies. If you was to look at, I think it was 47 prophecies, it went from 10 to the 57th power. It was just this amazing number. And these guys had seen all this amazing stuff, but they, for some reason, and they knew the prophecies, they knew that all that had to happen, but for some reason, that last one, they just couldn't get past. And so Jesus finally says, I want to get you to a point where you yelled, my Lord and my God. It's in John 20:27. Then here we go with Thomas. I'm going to give Thomas his moment. Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And here's where Thomas redeemed, I guess. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen? Y'all ready for this, church? Blessed are those who have not seen but yet believed. See, despair had given way to triumph. Death had given way to life. Condemnation to salvation, death to victory, because finally the disciples said, Jesus is alive and Jesus is risen. And they'll turn around to most of them will be crucified and most of them will be, when they get to this point where they've acknowledged him as Christ like that, the more I studied on it and the more I learned about it, it didn't turn out well for a lot of them in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, it was amazing. But they went through a lot of stuff. And we can walk around with this cold, numbless life full of fear and doubt. And I ask you this question. If you're walking around living like that, who would want to follow you? If you say you go to church and people can't see your faith in you living it out and it's just like this numb and cold thing that's just something you come and do on Sunday mornings, who would ever want to follow you? But if you can live your life, right, shouting, my Lord and my God. If you can live your life walking around where Scripture, every time you open it, it just burns deep inside of you. My friend, that is what the world wants to see. That is what the world wants. That is what the world wants to follow. I mean, go with me to the jail. And let me show you, stand in a room and just watch us present the gospel to a man. Like I told you one time, I said a scripture from Genesis and the man said, where is Genesis? And I said, let's look at this. This is going to be fun. Because I'm telling you, they have this thought of religion out there and they don't really understand the gospel. And if you would just come one time or just start to show people want to see this. People want to yell, my Lord and my God. But for some reason, we have fear. We have doubt that just keeps us from doing that. And it's, Mark told me a lot of things coming into this ministry. He told me about a lot of things. And of course, I was sitting there going, I understand, Mark. I get it, Mark. I hear you, Mark. I had a text him the other day and I said, Mark, I heard what you said, but now I feel it. Because I try to come with fire with a lot of times, and I try to come and motivate people to do some stuff, and I just don't understand sometimes, Nate. And I looked to him, and I was like, but you have so much inside of you. You're amazing. You can teach, you can lead, you can guide, you can direct, you can do anything you want to do. But for some reason, all you want to come in here and just sit down. And I don't get it. Because God can use you in a mighty way. Because let me look at, look, fellas and ladies, 8 years. God took me from 8 years from sitting in a chair out there to standing behind a pulpit in 8 years because I said, God, here's my card. I don't know what you want to do with my life, but God, here it is. Please use me. And it's just like, I want it to spill over from my soul into yours and let you see how good God can be and how amazing he can move in your life if you'll start to say, my Lord and my God. Remove the fear. Remove the doubt. Get past that because there's a world dying to hear who Jesus Christ is. And if you don't know that, get out from under your rock. I've met a lot of men. I've met a lot of women that just want to hear the gospel like never before. And the gospel is just telling people about Jesus Christ and how that he loves them and that he died for them. And then they say, but I did this. And you say, it doesn't matter. He wants you. He loves you. You are his masterpiece. What are you doing? So once you take that doubt, once you remove all that and you sell out for Christ, something amazing can happen in your life. Because we have been given something to do with our life. And this is kind of the summing it up of we've seen their fear, we've seen their doubt, we've seen what holds people back. And even the followers of Christ, even the disciples of Christ, we see where that is holding them back. And then God comes in and says, here, poke me, feel me, see what's that. We've seen it. And when you get past that, you're able to scream, my Lord, my God, and then you can understand what he's called you to do. Which is in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, ready? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He also says it in Mark 16. He also says it in Mark Luke 24. And he says it in John 20. In Acts 1:7-8, he says, it is not for you to know the times or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We heard that this morning. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is home, folks. And in all Judea and Samaria. To the end of the earth. These were not great suggestions. Y'all know where I'm going. But these are the great commandment. Because the core of Scripture is to make believers, is to tell people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll finish with this. In John 20, I love this little verse. It was just sitting in the middle of all this little verse. I serve a big God, but anyways. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. You know, he did a lot more to prove that he had conquered the grave. Verse 31, but these were written so that you may believe. You ready? I want you to watch the verbiage here. That Jesus is the Christ. The Son of God. And that believing in him, you may have life in his name. When you take away fear, when you take away doubt, when you take away everything that holds you back from being the creation that God has made you to be, and you accept the responsibility, whether, I mean, I understand that some people don't have certain things and there are a lot of stuff they don't want to do, but, I mean, I'm not seminary trained. I'm trained from a military, I'm trained from, yeah, it is a military sometimes, youth rooms. It does get kind of exciting up there. But my training comes from the youth room. My training comes from the jail system. My training comes from the, well, I think this is my fifth time to ever stand behind this pulpit. So I have a lot of insecurities in my life. And then, you know, Brother Don running back and forth this weekend and this morning screaming and hollering and everybody was amening and all this. And so then I had to follow that. And then Brother Peter gets up here with amazing, amazing worship. And I'm like, I could have took back Nathan. I could have said, man, I got to follow that. But you know what, Nathan? I get to come up here and do this. I get to come up here and tell people that Jesus is the Christ. Because we as followers, Noah said we, you and I, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we lose that passion. Sometimes we struggle. We go into those ruts. And we, like the disciples and the followers of Christ, we forget that Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. Because he is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. So let us together remember, you ready? That he is alive, and my goodness, he is coming back. And for anyone who is feeling a conviction in here that doesn't understand my emotion or my passion, because I kind of held it in check tonight, but it got out a little bit. And if you're sitting in here and you still have doubt, and you've never experienced God on the level to where you finally see him and then he comes up and he screams, or he doesn't scream, but he says greetings, and you just drop everything and you run and you fall at his feet and you worship him. If you've never felt that fire inside of you, do not, brother, do not, sister, leave this room tonight without talking to someone. I would love to tell you about my God, and I would love to tell you about how big he is. How big is he, Jackson? He's real big. And like I told you 8 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, I sat in a chair just like some of the ones you're sitting in. And I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And like I was talking to Mr. Peter earlier, my buddy Johnny Prater walked me into a church. And I'll be honest with you, this type of message that I tried to present tonight, it would have been too much for me. It'd been too much scripture, too much emotion, too much. It'd been too much. I wouldn't understand what I was talking about. I basically would have gotten tired of my brand new Bible. I remember it was a Bible. It was, and I remember having to flip back and forth. The preacher would say a verse, and I'm like, oh wait, where's that one at? What's that? Genesis, Exodus. Okay. And I would thumb back and forth. And then what's funny is it was a chronological order Bible, so it didn't line up right. And I'm just going, wait a minute, I'm not there. But anyways, if I would have heard this message and I would have seen this, I would have felt a conviction, but I wouldn't have known what was going on. But I just want to be an encouraging to you if you're in this room, because I always want to preach to Mike. And if Mike's sitting in here right now, and if he's feeling a conviction, and he don't think God can use him in a mighty way, I want to say to you, brother, or I want to say to you, sister, 8 years. 8 years, God has moved me from there to here. That has allowed me to move from my job at Forkland, but to move into a position here where I get to study the Word of God. I get to pray with some amazing people. I get to do some amazing moments in my life, to lead an awesome group of youth, to be able to work side by side with some awesome life group leaders as we're getting prepared for that. By the way, you better be plugged in. The Word of God burns deep down into my soul, and I would love to tell you about that. Because I sold out. Me and Darren sold out, and my life has changed 8 years. And my prayer is that, guys, I pray that we can together remove the doubt, that we can remove the fear, that we can remember that Jesus Christ conquered the grave. And I just want us to a point of our relationship that when he walks into a room and says greetings, that we just drop everything and run and fall to his feet, and we worship him. So, as I pray, as we go into this invitation, if it's something you would like to do, or if you just want to pray together, it's okay. But I just want to offer that to you tonight, guys. I know it is finished. Was awesome. But even knowing it is finished, some in this room still live with fear, and some of us still live with doubt. And for some reason, we can't allow that mess to get out of the way. Because I always pray, God, just tear down the walls. God, just remove the junk in my life. is to where I can hear it. And that was my first prayer. I kind of knew how this day was going to go. And that's why this morning I challenge you to live this day with your eyes open, your ears open, and your hearts open. Because I knew something special was going to happen today. But the thing is, you needed to remove that mess to hear that. So let us pray, and we'll go into a time of invitation. So Father God, I just come to you right now, God. Man, God, I just thank you, Father. God, I thank you for the calling on my life. Father, I thank you for your passion, God. I thank you for the fire inside of me, Father. God, may I never forget, God. May I never let go of why I do what I do, God. And that is to honor and glorify you. Father, as simple as it may be sometimes, God, that's what you want. And so my prayer for anybody in this room today, God, that if they don't know you, Father, please, God, convict them, God. Put something on their heart where they want to come and talk. They want to know what's going on. They want to know about this fire, God, about this fear and this doubt because they're consumed by it. Father, help them just to tear down the walls, God, to where they, when they need you, when they see you, God, that they run and they fall at your feet and worship you for what you've done in their life. Father, you are a big God. Father, you are an awesome God. And God, I pray this day was glorifying you on the highest of high. God, we love you. God, we praise you. God, I thank you, and we thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. There are some exciting times in front of us, Father. I just pray as a church, God, that we get out of our way and we just start to lead others, Father. That people can look to us for guidance, that people can look to us for the light of Christ. And God, we just pray as always that you're glorified in whatever we say and whatever we do. And we love you. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.